Well, now, aren't you glad you made it to church this morning? Oh, good morning, everybody. Meditations, Lenten meditations and suppers continue for 2 more weeks. Please join us every Wednesday at 6. Game day, next game day is this Tuesday at 2 o'clock down in the fellowship hall. Come join us for some cards, some good fellowship, some fun, some snacks. Summer camp. Summer camp opportunities are available for everyone. We're really encouraging some support for our families. If you'd like to make donations to help send a kid to camp, please stick it in an envelope, mark summer camp on it, put it in with the offering, or send it into the church office. We also will be sponsoring some children through various organizations within the church. Flowering of the Cross will take place before both services on the 8:30 and the 11 o'clock Easter services, generally done during the children's message time. If you're interested in donating for the flowers, for the cost of the flowers, please fill out the information sheet that's included in your bulletin. You can do it to honor someone. You can do it anonymously. Just stick it in the collection plate or send it into the office. Either one works. The Tower of Hope. Wow. What an awesome, over 900 articles, 946 pieces of stuff was sent to Hope House. That included diapers, wipes, personal care items, toilet paper, paper towels. I mean, this was amazing, amazing giving. This church is so generous when it comes to stuff like that, and they are ever so grateful for that. You can get the exact breakdown is listed in your bulletin this week of all the items that were given to Hope House. I know they're really appreciative of that. Pretty short list of things coming up. Please check your insert for the monthly activities, the things that are coming up for all of the committees and women's groups, men's group, all of that kind of stuff. So I think that's it. Ryan, can you lead us, please?
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. Break open our hearts this morning to hear your word, O God. Come and let us worship with great joy. God is about to do something new in our lives. We'll now sing hymn number 72, all stanzas of To God Be the Glory.
Done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Let us pray. O God of extravagant love and amazing grace, we greet your presence in our community. We welcome you into our midst as you have already welcomed us. We open ourselves to you now in hope. May your Spirit move in us and through us during this time of worship. Refocus our attention on what is truly important, on Jesus and the life that you've offered us through him. In his name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Turn and congratulate each other that you set your clocks in the right direction, and greet one another in the Spirit of Christ.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, guys. Whoa. Sunshine in the eyeballs. Okay. Well, we have our foundation. We have our path. We have our ground. Do you have any idea what we're going to add today? What do you think? Trees? Nope, no trees. Crosses. We are going to add some crosses and some more flowers. Okay? Grant, some more flowers for our grass. Okay, so here we go. We only have three crosses. So everybody else get some grass here. One cross, one cross, one cross. Okay, get some flowers. We got to put more flowers. All right, let's bring the crosses over here. Bring it over this way. This way, baby. Some flowers. Get some flowers. Can you give Luna some flowers? Very good. Okay, whoopsie. Yeah, they're kind of wobbly. You can't knock them around. Here we go. Back up here. Where's my other cross? There it is. Okay. And back here. Good, 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 good. Now, oh my goodness. It's collapsing. So the good thing I should have had our two engineers help me design this, I guess. Okay, hold. All right, let's try it. All right, don't breathe on it. It's all good. Okay, so three crosses. Do we remember what the three crosses are? Do you remember what this is all about? What's coming up? What's coming up soon? Yeah. Excellent. The Easter, and this is what we celebrate, is the cross. Okay. All right, pay attention. See this right here? Do you know what that says? It's kind of funny. It looks kind of funny, doesn't it? Well, whenever I see the crosses that we celebrate Easter, what I think of is love. The how much love it took for God to send his son to die for us. And how much love Jesus had to have for us that he would do that for us. So this right here spells love. That spells love in Hebrew, because that's the language of the Jewish people, right? Yeah. So when we look at our three crosses, the crucifixion, remember how much love Jesus has for us. So much for everybody that he even told one of those robbers that he would be with him in heaven. Loves everybody. Can we have a prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Thank you for his great sacrifice that we may have eternal life. We can only imagine the depths of your love for us, that this would be done for us, even though we are sinners. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go.
Good morning. If you don't know me, I am Gail Gentry, and I am co-chair of the elders here at Berry Christian, along with Kim Pouquet. and I'm going to bring to you this morning our pastoral concerns. First of all, we want to keep the family of Val Stringer in our prayers. Funeral services were held March the 9th and conducted by Pastor Neil Engel. We are very grateful for the many people from our congregation who were able to be there and support Val's family. Jerry Donahue was readmitted to North Kansas City Hospital on March the 8th with pneumonia. He is very, very weak. He and Betty are both in need of our prayers. I spoke to her this morning on the way to church. She is very, very worried about Jerry's condition. Pastor Neil went by yesterday morning before Val's service, and he got to see him. And yesterday, he seemed to be in good spirits. But it seems like today has been kind of a turning day. So I would really ask that you keep them in your prayers. Russell Stewart met with his oncologist, and he is very hopeful to begin chemotherapy by the end of this month. He will be having that every 2 weeks for 6 months. His strength is coming back slowly, but he's resting very comfortably at home. Brian Sitzman continues with his rehab following his back surgery, and he tells me that he's seeing slow and steady improvement, and enough so that they are going to plan a trip to visit family in Denver later this month, so that's good news. Joe Weekly is doing well. He has not had any more atrial fibrillation for a week, and he was actually in St. Louis when Kim called him. Luella Scott is doing pretty well. She is getting settled into Garden Village, so that's going to be another adjustment for Luella, so we want to keep her in prayer. We're happy to have John Adams with us this morning, and he is doing much better. We're being told that the fluid that now is coming off his lungs has greatly decreased. So we pray for continued healing for you, John. Ed and Gladys Aller are still in Peru, where Ed has been attending to the affairs of his mother, Elsa, who passed away. And they are hoping to be back in the United States later this coming week. And then I had spoken with Pastor Dennis, and he let me know that there were a couple of days last week where his pain was not as intense as it has been. And that I told him, well, any lessening of your pain is indeed a blessing. And of course, he is still waiting on his surgery, which will be held on March the 21st. So we want to keep him in prayer as well. We pray for continued healing and comfort for all of these people, as well as many others who remain in our hearts and our prayers.
I would invite you now to be in an attitude of prayer, taking time this morning to not only speak to God, but to listen to God's voice in our lives. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we have been drawn into this community today as the sun draws water from the sea. You've made us for fellowship, to be in relationship with you, and our hearts long for your holy presence. And yet, oh God, we admit that we often stuff our faith into our pockets, hiding in a place of comfort rather than proudly declaring that, yes, we are Christian. Yes, we believe. Yes, this faith has changed us. We're so afraid of offending others or embarrassing ourselves that we've established rules. No faith at the dinner table. No faith in politics, no faith with strangers. Forgive us, O God, for whispering when we could be singing. Forgive us for staying quiet when we could be part of rewriting the narrative. We want to be brave. We want to pour out perfume over the feet of Jesus. O God, this morning we pray for your church in these purpled days of Lent. We'd ask that you grant your people a deeper sorrow for our complacencies, a greater resolve to follow your way of service, and a keener vision for the new things that you are doing. We continue to pray for peace and ask that you grant the leaders of nations the vision of your kingdom of peace, O God, that the age-old curse of war may finally cease to charge our spirits, and that we find our hope in life shared in justice and in righteousness. We continue to remember our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and in Gaza in Israel. Oh God, we pray for those who need renewal of their hope, those who are ill of body and mind and spirit, those who grieve, those who are afflicted with incurable diseases, those who are unemployed or underemployed, those who are hungry and houseless. Let the new thing that you are doing offer them comfort and peace. O God, hear the prayers of your people and grant that we would speak with our lips, that what we speak with our lips may be matched by the more costly offering of our hearts. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave us these words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Christian in my heart, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Thank you.
In our scripture for this morning, in just a few minutes, you're going to hear about an act of hospitality on the part of Mary, a very selfless and loving act toward Jesus. But when we come around this table, it is also an act of hospitality. What we are about to share in bread and cup is that act of hospitality. It's an act of love and selfless giving of Jesus Christ for us. This is God's welcome table, where all are welcome. All means all, regardless of church affiliation or denomination, regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey or where you aren't on your spiritual journey. Come now and eat of the bread of life, drink from the cup of blessing. All are welcome.
Here at thy table, Lord, this sacred hour, oh, let us feel thee near in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin, as to thy banquet all we enter in. Come then, O Holy Christ, feed us, we pray. Pierced hand, each common day, making this earthly life full of thy grace, till in the home of heaven we find our place.
When Jesus was with his friends in the upper room on the last night of his life, he took some bread and he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take and eat, for this bread is my body. It's given for you, it's broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And likewise, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new agreement, the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink, all of you, in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God.
Shall we pray? God, our Father, we gather at this communion table today to remember your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross as the sacrificial, unblemished lamb, so we might have eternal life with you. We ask for your blessing on this bread and this cup, which symbolizes Jesus' broken body and spilled blood upon the cross. As we sit in quiet meditation, we pray that we may learn to pour out our love for others in true and humble service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In our text, we will hear Jesus say that the poor will always be with us. That's not a commandment. God has richly blessed us. It is now our opportunity to share with those in need those blessings. Let us worship God with the receiving of God's tithes and our offerings.
Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of gratitude as we present our tithes and our offerings. There is nothing that we could give you that matches your glory and the gift of your Son. Receive these gifts we offer to help spread your word throughout the world and to help those in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Gracious God and giver of every good and perfect gift, we bring to you our gifts and offerings as a symbol of the gift of ourselves. May we share lavishly of our lives in loving service, spreading your love. Amen. Our scripture selection this morning is from the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Maybe it was Christmas morning or a birthday party or an anniversary celebration, or maybe it was a farewell gathering. Someone was given a gift, and they go through that awkward exercise of unwrapping it without tearing the paper, and everybody's watching, and the person lifts the lid on the box just far enough to discover what's inside, and then exclaims, "Oh, you shouldn't have." Maybe you've been the gift giver. Maybe you've been on the receiving end. I suspect we've all heard those words, "Oh, it's too expensive, you didn't need to do that," or "you shouldn't have." Now, when somebody says "you shouldn't have," rarely do they mean it. You've been there, haven't you? What they really mean is, "I'm overwhelmed," or "I'm flattered by your generosity," or "I feel guilty because your gift is more expensive than what I gave you," or sometimes "you shouldn't have" means "I'm glad you did." But in the story for this morning, when Judas says "you shouldn't have," he really means it. Judas isn't the recipient of the gift, Jesus is, but he still feels it's his place to denounce Mary, the giver of the gift. Now, Jesus and his disciples are once again in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the sisters and brother who were very special friends of his. Lazarus is the one whom Jesus has raised from the dead. But now Jesus is stopping off at these friends' house for a visit and for this special evening meal. And so the dinner is almost like a celebration, but not quite. There's a shadow over all that is happening. The disciples know that their Lord is in danger. Crowds are coming into the city for the holidays, and many are looking for Lazarus, who's become quite a celebrity. His life is in danger as well as Jesus. Doubtless the gathered company is happy to be together, happy to be enjoying Martha's good cooked meal, happy to celebrate Lazarus' return among them. But they're aware all the while that their celebration may be short-lived. For all of them, this is an unusual time. All the guests and Lazarus are lying at the table or reclining in the dining custom of the day. Mary brings into the room a large jar of rare perfume, very expensive indeed, and she's doubtless been saving it for a very special purpose. She comes to where Jesus is reclining at the table. She begins to pour this costly ointment over his feet. Well, a deep and a fragrant, pleasant fragrance fills the banquet room. When she's done this, Mary begins to wipe Jesus' feet with her own hair. Everybody's a little embarrassed for Mary, but Judas is really ticked off. As keeper of the disciples' treasury, he's understandably dismayed at this extravagance. After all, he hadn't seen a purchase order for this item. "Mary, you shouldn't have. I mean, you really shouldn't have. That perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." Now, according to the text, Judas's objections aren't motivated by a concern for the poor, but by his anger that Mary has dipped into the petty cash fund, a fund that Judas felt free to dip into himself for his own personal use. Jesus responds to his outburst by telling him to leave Mary alone. After all, Jesus says, "She bought the perfume for my burial, and besides, you will always have the poor, but you won't always have me." Now, when you hear this text read, or you read it yourselves, or go through it in your mind, where are you standing in that scene? I have to confess that there are times when I'm standing right behind Judas, shaking my finger at Mary. After all, a year's wages spent on an act of anointing, I mean, that's wasteful. It's poor stewardship. It's not cost effective. What good, think of what good that money could have done. In the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, this scene has Judas telling Jesus, "People who are hungry, people who are starving matter more than your feet and hair." Besides, much of the gospel material is dedicated to Jesus' teaching about the poor and compassion and care for them. I suspect that many of us could appreciate Judas' perspective. We don't like waste, especially if you grew up during the Depression. Waste is wasteful. The late Fred Craddock, disciple, teacher, and preacher, reflected on his early days as a pastor. He wrote, "I began my ministry in Appalachia. The majority of the congregation I served could not read and write. I appointed myself while I was there economic advisor. These people lived in what the government called a pocket of poverty. Very small incomes. They got these little checks, these measly little checks, and invariably spent part of it buying flowers or whatnots to hang on the wall, or some beads or baubles of some sort. I would argue with those people. I'd say, look, why should roses and petunias cover the ground when you could plant potatoes and onions and feed your kids? So impractical, these little trinkets on the wall. And those beads, there's a man with a little thing hanging down from his bib overalls on his chain. It cost him $3. It's nothing. It's a trinket." He says, "One day I was fussing at Miss Glover. She didn't have the money, and there she was with some little something. She couldn't eat it, you couldn't play with it, you couldn't do anything but look at it. And I said, 'Miss Glover, it's a waste. You can't afford that.' She looked at me and said, 'Brother Craddock, everybody's got to have some pretties.'" After I served at Hillside Christian Church down the road, my family and I moved to McPherson, Kansas, south of Salina, and I served First Christian Church there. And while I was serving there, I was involved in an ecumenical effort. It was called Churches United Ministry. And we operated a thrift store, and the proceeds generated were used to assist local individuals and local organizations in need. We would routinely make $100,000 each year and usually carry an additional $25,000 in the bank. And we had a number of volunteers who would, you know, sort things and price them. And so we had about 150 volunteers involved in that effort. One year, we proposed that we honor our volunteers by treating them and their guests to a catered dinner. The dinner would cost $1,500, 300 people at $5 a head. We had the dinner, and it was a great evening, but we had a few sincere people raise the question of whether it was wasteful to have the dinner. Maybe that $1,500 should be added to the $100,000 that we regularly distributed. They felt it was just too extravagant. Unfortunately, there are some people who feel that a party is never appropriate. You know, there are those who maintain that persons on public assistance, food stamps, shouldn't be allowed any extravagances, just basics, no extras. Pork and beans and potatoes, but no flowers or perfume. So I sometimes stand behind Judas, chastising Mary. But I also find it possible to stand behind Mary, enjoying Jesus' words to Judas to leave her alone. I mean, after all, Mary was trying to show her love for the Master. He would soon die for his beloved sheep. Her anointing his feet was a prophetic gesture. Perfume was normally put on the head or face to give a pleasant aroma to the person wearing it, but a corpse might be anointed on the feet as well, for in the case of the dead, the fragrance was for other persons to smell, not the one who had died. Did Mary know that he would soon be headed to the cross? Sure, it was an extravagant gift, an extravagant act. But isn't that how love is often displayed? By an act or a gift that defies logic, that isn't cost effective? How many parents or grandparents have been the recipient of a picture made by a child, a labor of love produced by a preschooler? How do we respond? Do we say, "Oh, honey, you used way too much glitter. You wasted it, and there's glue dripping off the edge here. I could have used that to fix something." Is that how we respond? When Jesus is reproached about the cost and waste of the ointment, why doesn't he say, "Of course, Judas, you are absolutely right. What was I thinking? You know my motto, reduce, reuse, and recycle. Here, let me see if I can scrape up some of that, and we'll recycle the ointment, the oil." Sometimes the only way to express our love is through extravagance. Something that on the surface would appear to be wasteful. How many of us, when we've lost a loved one, have been the recipients of cards and flowers and tons of food? Is that all a waste? There are times to respond with extravagance. Sometimes that's the only way to respond. Extravagant love is children preparing breakfast for their parents, burnt toast, spilled juice, and cereal bowls overflowing. You remember that Pepto-Bismol commercial several years ago? Kids bring breakfast in bed to mom and dad. It's a huge, huge fixing of pancakes. And the mom whispers to dad, "We don't have the stuff to make pancakes." Extravagant love sits with friends in the hospital waiting room. Extravagant love shares tears and embraces with friends who experience losses. Extravagant love builds a tower of hope for Hope House. Extravagant love decorates the warmth tree to provide clothing for neighbors in the Northland. Extravagant love purchases 1,000 cut flowers for the flowering of the cross. Extravagant love isn't worried about cost effectiveness or inconvenience or sounding right. Extravagant love acts out of selflessness and profound gratitude and is concerned about doing right. You know, after they finished eating their banquet dinner that Martha is serving, Jesus and the disciples will go out to prepare themselves for the next day when they will enter Jerusalem together. The danger heightens as the drama of entering the city begins to unfold. "Hosanna," they will hear shouted soon by people along the way, and the passion of our Lord will begin. The inevitable walk toward the cross will be underway, and Jesus will be about doing what he has to do, an unusual saving act on behalf of all of us. For you see, Jesus, by setting his eyes toward Jerusalem and the cross, shows us the most extravagant gift that God could give us. Jesus goes to the cross for Judas and Mary and you and me. And I don't think that's a waste. Let us pray. Oh God, even though there are times when we're like Judas, we admire the spontaneity and extravagance of Mary's act, and we wish we could behave as she did. We see her motivation, the transforming of life under the Prince of Resurrection, and ask to see as she saw, that we may be as she was, and love extravagantly as she did. Amen. Service this morning with the singing of our invitation hymn, "God of Grace and God of Glory." Each week, we extend that invitation to anyone feel called by the Spirit of God to unite in fellowship with Berry Christian Church. You may do that through transfer of membership or with your first-time confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If God has touched you in that way, we'd invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thine ancient church's story, bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the search for thy salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving thee whom we adore, serving thee whom we adore.
We have a tremendous joy to celebrate today. Evelyn Priestner is just turned 102. Is she back there? Okay. Evelyn, happy birthday. Wrap your mind around this, friend. She was born March 8, 1922. Evelyn, I hope it's a tremendous birthday celebration. So glad that you're with us in worship today. God bless you. And now let us go forth from this place with the admiration for the spontaneity and the extravagance of Mary's act. Let us go to love and serve God and others. Amen.
Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come.